the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always, 6 days a week. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word and tell your neighbor. It's absolutely free. Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. On the seventh day we rest, it is Saturday, February 20th. We are live on your radio. Hour one, last hour. Sam sounds off, delivers emotional monologue on a Rush Limbaugh tribute. Rip Rush is the exclamation point. Rest in peace, brother. I'm going to say Rip Brother Rush. Why? Because they always called him a racist, like the rest of us. But yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, Bo Snerdly exists. Yep. Bo Snerdly's really named James Golden. And James Golden is a black man who says he probably would have been working in a restaurant without Rush. And they were dear friends beyond radio. And Bo Snerdly really speaking out on Sean Hannity's show, telling who Rush really was. And I gave last hour a little bit of my experience with people who knew Rush. And John Rich, country star, speaking out as well, defending Rush, saying Rush donated $100,000 to St. Jude's Hospital under the condition of the donation being anonymous. How many other things did Rush do with his money that we don't know about? Don't know, but I bet a bunch. That's just one story from John Rich. Now you hear stories and other people, you know what, James Golden, Bo Snerdly, saying how awesome of a person Rush was. My buddy Phil Mueller, who was good friends with Rush back in the day, telling what a great person Rush was. So I'm not here to sing Rush's praise, but I am here to learn from the contributions of others. And I think that's what we need to do in America, is learn from one another. Step back from judgment from one another. Create an effort of civility. By the way, Joe Biden preaching unity, but yet everything he's doing is undermining and fractionalizing the swamp monsters versus the rest of us, creating a divide in the left-right paradigm, creating a divide between the Republicans and Democrats, divide everywhere. And I don't know that we always need to be united. I think that's kind of a false term. I think we can agree to disagree agreeably. I think we can learn to be civil and have an era of civility in America, even if we disagree. And I feel so strongly about it that me and Sheriff Mack grabbed a website URL or a domain, and we're going to be promoting this idea of civility on this domain. We are going to kind of really highlight this idea that we need to be civil. It's okay to disagree. And it's okay to even disagree somewhat forcefully, folks. That's the genius of America. That's the rough and tumble of dealing with very difficult issues. But that doesn't mean that we have to be mean to one another or unkind. Right? That doesn't mean we need to be unkind. And I think that's really the takeaway. And I think for the most part, Rush was civil. You could say, well, Sam, there were some things that he said that weren't kind. You know, we're all guilty of that, folks. I'm not above that either. I try to be kind, and I try to be patient and gentle with others, but I always say things that, you know, I wish we would say something different, right? It's something that we really got to work on. It's something that we all got to make efforts to. And what happens is that if I rip on somebody or say something or do something and I'm not very kind, then they say, oh, Sam, and, you know, isn't that the, you know, what do they call it? The pan calling the kettle black or whatever. But I look at it and say, you know what? None of us do great at it. None of us are perfect at civility. It's something that takes constant work, constant effort, constant practice. Okay? And I think civility is something that we all need to strive for. So we're going to build a website around civility. what it means to be civil. Does it mean we always have to agree? No. Does it mean we can't banter around ideas and really attack ideas with a fervor that we disagree with and stand and defend ideas that we agree with? No, we can do those things, but we don't need to make them personal. We don't need to engage in personal attacks. And believe it or not, you know, Melania Trump, when she created her civility effort, her effort was called Be Best, and it was an anti-bullying campaign. I really commend her for this. It was very good. Be Best campaign. Let's be gentle and kind to one another. Let's be our best selves was kind of the idea. And what would happen is Trump would go off and rip somebody apart because he's always been a punchback guy, right? You attack Trump and he'll punch back harder, they say. It's always been Trump's moniker. I'm not suggesting it's the best one, but that's, you know, who he is, what he's done. But he's with Melania now. She's kind of saying, well, you know what? Be best, Don. We can be better than that. Well, instead of accepting her counsel to her husband and being appreciative for her leadership, what they did was they downed Melania, and they're like, look at those two-faced couple. You know, Donald's attacking everybody, and Melania gives her husband a pass and runs around in this Be Best campaign, and how two-faced and disingenuous is that? And they would go on. But I look at it and go, can't we just give someone some credit? Can't we just give somebody a little love, a little bit of, what do you want to say? Can't we give people like a best foot forward, a second chance, if you will? And I don't really see that they did that much for President Trump, and especially Melania. I mean, why is she guilty for, you know, the president's statements or behavior and stuff like this? But I don't see Joe Biden any better, right? Joe Biden's literally saying, you know, that he wishes he could have taken Donald Trump out behind the woodshed, giving him a piece of his mind, you know, kind of a thing. You know, we've all done this. And so I don't want to look back at the comments others have made. And, you know, Maxine Waters, you know, saying, hey, you know what? Don't let any of the conservatives rest in peace. Attack them, form a crowd wherever they are. Let them know they're not welcome here. And, okay, these are the statements from Democrats. There's been bad statements by Republicans and by all walks of life. I've been guilty of them. Not that I'm proud of it. I'm just willing to acknowledge, right? We need to all do better. Right? We need to all work at this. Can we do it? I think we can. Is it going to be a road to hoe? Is it going to be difficult? Without a doubt, anything worth having is difficult to gain, right? Anything worth doing is worth doing our best at it, right? And I think that's the takeaway that we need to have. Well, I bring this up because it seems to me like we're entering an era of less and less and less civility. Less and less and less genuine respect for one another. If we disagree, we want to put those disagreements front and center. And what I find sad about it is we can agree on 95% of things, or 90% or 99%, depends on who and what. But why do we focus on the 5 or 10% that we disagree about? Why? Why do we do that? I don't know. I guess a lot of it's human nature. I guess a lot of it is just typical behavior, right? But I think we can intentionally do better. And I think that's what we ought to focus on. We can be better. We should be better, right? Who's in with me? Anybody? Who's game to try to educate and to use civility as the opportunity to bring people together, to give people hope, to embody courage? You know, as once said, courage is contagious, right? So think about that. How can you continue to make a difference? What can you do to bring about a new era of civility? What can you do to make a difference? Right? How do you go about our disagreements in ways that make sense? Right? In ways that give people hope and a chance to work together rather than burning the barn down in division. Right? We got to really, 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 really work to guard against that. And one of the ways that we can guard against that is to reject the cancel culture. What we want to do in our society now is cancel anything we disagree with and act like it doesn't exist or act like it doesn't have the right to be. And I think Republicans and Democrats and all of us are guilty of this. What we do is we say, well, wait, reject the cancel culture when it's things that we believe in. We don't want them to cancel it. But when it's things that the other side believe in, we're all ready to cancel it and do unto them what they have done unto us rather than do unto them what we would like done unto us. Critical. Critical stuff. But so, so, so important. I would give you the name of the website on civility we're going to be talking about, but it's not built yet. But it's a worthy project, don't you think? All right. Bo, Snerdly, should I give the name, the website, even though it's not built yet? Oh, Snerdly says I should. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable, Civility Radio at your fingertips.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. This is kind of a tribute to the state of Texas. We'll talk about preparedness in a minute. I want to talk about preparedness in detail, ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast. Preparedness for what is to come. And how and when and what, and I don't know. But preparedness, nevertheless. It's a tribute to Rush Limbaugh. It's a tribute to the Texans. It's a tribute to civility. Okay? It's a tribute to, in my opinion, things we hold dear, right? Or things we should hold dear. Is that the way to say it? And so I'm talking about civility. And I'm talking about even when we disagree, learning to disagree agreeably is a real skill. And it's hard to learn. And even in my early days of radio, I'm sure I didn't practice it very well. So you know what? Don't call me out and say, Sam, you're as guilty of it as anybody. Because you want to know what my response will be? Sadly, you're probably right. I'm far from a perfect guy. And it's so easy, especially in talk radio, to take aim at your enemy. And what do they say? Fire. Aim. Ready? You know, it's very easy to kind of babble at the mouth without thinking. It's pretty easy to go ahead and, you know, especially when somebody's got a gift of gab or a sharp tongue as I have, it's pretty easy to go off and say, you know what, this guy's a jerk, this guy's a thug, this guy's an enemy, this guy's a... And you know what, you feel like that in the middle of politics because it's very emotional. But how do we learn to get a check on our emotions? How do we learn to, you know, that's kind of the clarion call. Oh, speaking of clarion call, I wrote a clarion call for civility article. Believe it or not, back in what, 2016 or 17 or something like that? I'll have to try to find it. But it was an open letter to all the media and everybody else, right? Open letter, a clarion call for civility in 2016. I wrote that article. So you know what? I really believe that this effort, this desire for civility matters. And, you know, I always refer to my open letter, a clarion call for civility. It was written, I guess, in May 2016. And I want to republish it because I really think it's important. In fact, when we build this website, I think I will publish it. On the website is kind of one of the things that led us to this. But myself and Richard Mack really want to push on this idea about a call for civility. So the website will be as soon as it's up. And again, I just need time to work on it, folks. I have too many projects, too many things. But the website will be called, imagine this, callforcivility.com. We got the domain, so it's going to happen. And in 2016, I wrote a clarion call for civility. And now the website will be called callforcivility.com. Makes sense, right? All right, since Snurdly told me to go ahead and tell you about that website, I thought I would, you know. All right, this time Bo Snurdly has a different name, though, doesn't he? He's not James Golden. He's not even James. He is Jay, though, so the first letter matches, right? Anyway, but Rush was famous for giving his producer a lot of credit for the research and for all the things that went on behind the scenes, and he'd refer to him often. And he treated him like a true friend. And it turns out they were true friends. It was not a joke. It was not a, quote, fabrication. James Golden is real. Anyway, enough of the Rush Limbaugh tribute. But you know what? Rest in peace, Rush. And our prayers are with your family, brother. And our prayers are with James Golden. So the question becomes, what's going to happen to the Rush Limbaugh show now? Hey, Bo, do you have any ideas? What's going to happen to the Rush Limbaugh show now that... you know, Rush is resting in peace. He's with his maker. Any idea what's going to happen to the Rush Limbaugh program? You don't know, huh? I got an idea, man. What if Donald Trump takes over the Rush Limbaugh program, man? All right. Bo says that'd be great if, you know, Donald Trump took over the Rush Limbaugh program. Now, Bo Snurdly can do it. I'm sure Bo's plenty, James Golden, plenty capable of doing it. I don't know if he would or not. I think that James Golden probably rather produce for the next Patriot. You know what? I think that Donald Trump should take over the Rush Limbaugh show. I think he should move to Utah. I think he should run against Mitt Romney and take over the Rush Limbaugh radio program. And broadcast live for the Rocky Mountains. What do you think of that, Bo? Would that be a good plan? Then you could have a senator from the Rocky Mountains broadcasting on the Rush Limbaugh show. What they want you to believe is you can't do radio and be a senator or be a public official because it's a conflict of interest. See, I digress. Or I'm sorry, I disagree with that. Am I allowed to disagree with that? Or is that uncivil? See, I think we can have a conversation about this. I don't think just because you are... an elected official, that doesn't mean that you can't communicate to the public and have your own show. What better way to let the people talk to you than say, you know what? My number is 866-986-6397. Call me. Jump on the radio with me. I'd love to entertain your questions. What an incredible town hall it would be. And it would shake up the mainstream press because now you can talk directly to the people and you can just set aside this Facebook and Twitter and these big tech thugs that are controlling everything. Wait a minute. Was that civil? I think it is civil to be a little forceful when they're denying liberty and denying freedom of speech, freedom of association. They're even preventing us under the guise of COVID to jettisoning our freedom to assemble. Our freedom of religion. Redress of grievances don't go anywhere because the courts say you don't have standing. All five of the First Amendment guarantees are under assault. And I think we need to speak out nobly, boldly, and independently in rejection of that. That doesn't mean that I want to attack individuals personally. It's okay to have the rough and tumble of ideas. See, we need to learn to separate. When are we being rough and tumble on the ideas and really standing up and advocating for what we believe to be right versus when are we making personal swipes and personal attacks and shaming or bullying or fundamentally behaving in a way that would be abuse or unkindness in a way that's dangerous. See, when they put my picture on the Malheur Wildlife Takeover, as if I was part of it, that's pretty brutal. But they didn't say a word, did they? Anyway, we're going to work on this callforcivility.com website and really highlight some fundamental things we can do. We might even create civility rallies across the country. What if you got a few black people and white people? And a few people from Republican and Democrat camps? And males and females, and every fault line divide you could find. And we got speakers that could come together. And come together over the principles of liberty and say, look, we can be united, we can be civil, but it's got to be over these principles. Look, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. People swear an oath to that. Now, that's not debatable. If we want to change that, we can, but so far we haven't, and therefore that is the standard. Anyway, that's the effort we need to have. We really need to work at this, people. So we're going to be putting together this callforcivility.com website, and we're going to really advocate for this. I'm going to do so on the radio. We hope to do so in national public speaking tours. We hope to put rallies together that really challenge the fault lines. Right? If I'm a straight person, can I work with gay people? What if I don't believe the transgender view, but others are saying, oh, it's so dear to their hearts? What about all these fault lines that are everywhere in America? Can we disagree but still be civil, still be kind, still be willing to treat others as we would want to be treated? Can we treat others as the Prince of Peace or Jesus Christ would treat them? Can we reject an idea but not reject the person? Can we? I think we can. In fact, I think we must. If this nation is to endure, we must work on erasing fault lines, burying the hatchet on disagreements. I don't mean that we agree or that we're 100% united, but I mean that we're civil and respectful, that we're kind, that we appeal to our base, if you will, and future converts to our base in ways that hold the moral high ground. Is that a possibility? Or am I just Pollyanna wishful thinking kind of guy? I may be a little Pollyanna wishful thinking guy, but I'd rather be that guy hoping to change the world for the better than the other guy that says it's not possible. Forget it. Give it up, Sam. They'll never let you do that. I hope to be the guy that advocates for the Prince of Peace and the guy that advocates and calls for civility. Even when we disagree, we can do so agreeably. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend your right to say it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News.
Plans to vaccinate more Americans against the coronavirus delayed by the weather. President Biden in Michigan Friday at a Pfizer vaccine plant as the delivery of 6 million doses is held up by extreme weather across most of the country. Overall, though, Biden says he likes the pace of vaccine distribution, especially after what he considers a slow start.
My predecessors, my mother would say, God love them, failed to order enough vaccines, failed to mobilize the effort to administer the shots, failed to set up vaccine centers. That changed the moment we took office.
Biden believes his administration is still on track to administer 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days. Meanwhile, the House Budget Committee yesterday releasing details of Biden's COVID relief bill. The $2 trillion package includes a $15 an hour minimum wage, $1,400 stimulus checks, extending unemployment benefits, and more money for small businesses. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaruth for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
President Biden planning to visit Texas soon following a massive storm. Biden also saying Friday he'll sign a major disaster declaration for the state. Meanwhile, many Texans still lack water and electricity, but water is the bigger problem right now. Millions under boil water notices. The storm blamed for 44 deaths, 27 of them in Texas. NASA is sharing what it calls exhilarating pictures of Mars as taken by the rover Perseverance that landed Thursday. Those pictures available at NASA.gov. Former astronaut Mike Massimino tells NBC News this mission is part of a larger focus on Mars in the years to come.
The idea of sending people to Mars, I think that's what this in some ways is all about. You know, there's a lot of understanding our planet as well by looking at Mars, understanding how our solar system formed, looking for other signs of life. Answering questions not only about Mars but Earth, but also paving the way for people to go there.
The rover will undergo some maintenance checks this weekend and take more pictures, including a panorama. This is USA Radio News.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. So much to cover. So little time, right? I got an interesting email from the Sutherland Institute, and they're a think tank, and they have a headline that says this: cancel culture points to big question. I agree with that. Are students learning about freedom of speech? Ooh, yeah. That's a really important discussion, huh? The cultural phenomenon known as the cancel culture is serious, right? It continues to insert itself into many parts of society. Cancel culture seeks to annul or remove certain people from mainstream discourse, right? And it's a serious issue. And it really talks about the education arena, and it goes on, talks a lot about this. But I want to mention about the cancel culture. Is the cancel culture, and they have a different question. Theirs is relating to education, and it's in their educational series. It's like part 12 of their big educational series. I don't really want to go on about that, except to say that I want to ask my own question. Right? Let me give you an example. Cancel culture points to big question. And they say, are students learning about freedom of speech? I think they're not. And I think if we don't learn about it, we're going to lose it. That's what I think. And that scares me, right? But I got a big question that cancel culture leads to as well. Can we learn to be civil? Or are we just going to basically run out on a rail? Anybody who disagrees with our views or our discourse. Let me give an example to make the point. Governor Kristi Noem says there will be no mask mandates in South Dakota. And she slams the CDC and their devil masking idea. She said, look, it isn't about double masks. Okay? It isn't a matter of how safe double mask may or may not be in the debate surrounding that. What she says is this is not America. In other words, this idea that we're just going to mandate our opinion, even if it's not backed by scientific fact, as scientific fact, and if you disagree, you're the enemy. And this cancel culture issue is right at the heart. Are we just going to cancel Kristi Noem, this governor, and just say, you know what, you ought to be in prison. I mean, how dare you say that? Are we going to just cancel the pro-lifers? Are we just going to cancel those who believe differently than we do? Facebook, they say, is now the arbiter of truth on climate change. Believe it or not, they're putting together a panel with Yale and Cambridge experts, and their goal is to debunk myths of deniers. Facebook, now arbiter of truth. They're putting together a climate change panel with Yale, Cambridge, and others, and they're putting experts together to debunk the myths of the global warming or climate change deniers. Art Moore, WND.com, writes the piece. And that's a very scary discussion, isn't it? But are we just going to let cancel culture just cancel anybody who disagrees on climate change? What if you do things that we don't agree with? Do we just shut people down? Let me give you an example. This is serious, serious, serious. School board mocks parents and the comments go viral. I don't know if you saw this story, but in my opinion, this story is really important. Okay. School board mocks parents. Unfortunate remarks go viral, says the headline. President of a board in Oakley, California, resigns after video of virtual meeting circulates online. So what happened is they were having a conference or whatever. They didn't think they were on live video. And so these, you know, government school personnel just starts mocking parents, right? And I guess it didn't go too well because the parents are now livid and attacking the school board, who then mocked, you know, parents. So you got this rift now between the school board and the parents because the school board mocked the parents. Now the parents are livid. But here's my take. Number one, I don't agree at all with the school board mocking the parents. I mean, I think that's foolish. I think it's ill-advised. I mean, I can go down that road of explanation. I'm just against it, okay? But you know what? They have their right to free speech and free thought as well. And if they want to mock the parents, they can. But we can also fire them for that, okay? You can have your own free speech, but we'll just, you know, fire you. The other issue is that, hey, they can have their free speech. The parents, though, instead of just trashing the school board or trashing this president of board in Oakley, California or whatever, what we can do is we could just simply say, hey, we're not going to put our kids in your government school in the first place. After all, the government school is the Communist Manifesto. So you have the president of the Communist Manifesto board in California mocking parents, and parents ought to just simply respond and smile and take their kids out of government school. If enough parents took their kids out of government school and the government school shut down, then we wouldn't have communism being taught in America, first of all. And secondly, the president can go find the job elsewhere. If you don't appreciate the parents, if you're going to mock them and be disparaging against them, Why is this school leader of the communist schools, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, why are they mocking the parents in the first place? I'll tell you why. Because parents are trying to get their kids back in school and open up schools. And the bureaucrats, the professional communist do-gooders back in the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto on the school board, they're getting big paychecks to sit around on their derrieres. And they don't want to go back to work. So they're mocking the parents going, we're not going back. My response is just shut it down, people. Shut it down, people. That's what needs to happen. Right? All right, cancel culture's coming for me is the next headline. Do you know who said that? If you don't, you're probably not watching the news well enough, are you? Yeah. Cancel culture's coming for me. I'm saying it. It's coming for me. It's been coming for me for a long time. The difference is I don't depend on YouTube and Facebook and Google and all these goofballs for revenue. I was smart enough not to do that. And people would said, Sam, your show could be a gazillion times bigger if you just, what, capitulate? Right? But cancel culture is real. It's a truly toxic phenomenon, in my opinion. Now, some people think cancel culture is a good thing, but I don't. And so I don't agree with this, school board at all, but I do agree with their right to speak and think as they think best. Our prayers are with them. You know, they've got that song, They're Coming to Take Me Away, hee hee, ha ha. You ever heard that? Well, when cancel culture is coming for me, I kind of think that. It's coming for you. They think we're crazy, but I think they're crazy. You know, where does it end? Right? Where does it all end? And I think unless we, you know what, lay down the civility card. Do I call that the Trump card? All right. For example, there's a poll being taken. People are wanting to know, is Pelosi right? Well, you say, Sam, on what? Well, poll, is Pelosi's idea on how to investigate the January 6th Capitol riot a good idea? She wants to create a group to look into it. But here's my problem in the cancel culture. Nancy and crew, who's going to be in charge of this investigation? Is it going to be kind of like a Ken Starr investigation? Right? But the AMAC newsletter is the one that has this poll. Go to amac.us if you want to take the poll. And then you can see the results of the poll. Maybe Snurdly will go take the poll and then get us some results, huh? But cancel culture is coming for me, and they're coming for you. Right? The cancel culture is coming for us all. Right? Sadly, I think that's right. Cancel culture is coming for me, and they are coming for you. They are coming for us all. Right? Wow. You got to fight peacefully, folks. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live. AMAC.us has a poll. Is Pelosi's idea on how to investigate the January 6th Capitol riot a good idea? And she wants to basically have kind of a Ken Starr investigation or whatever into it, have Congress, you know. I don't have any confidence in that, Nancy. I hate to tell you, but you're just going to make matters worse because Americans feel like they're just getting snookered everywhere they turn. You'll have a big old investigation, and when you get done with your investigation, you'll be like, man, you know, there was bad guys that did bad stuff, and we're sorry about that. And, you know, you're really going to get to the bottom of the truth? All right. Anyway, there you have it. All right. Do you like Cadbury eggs, Snurdly? Cameron, you like Cadbury eggs? No? All right. When you're a kid, you like Cadbury eggs. Come on, they're coming up for Easter, bro. So you got to bust out the Cadburys, you know? Well, anyway, a petition is out now to have Cadbury's latest commercial taken off air. The petition surfaced after viewers took issue with a same-sex kiss featured in the ad. I guess according to an article published on Friday. Now, this is kind of the problem with this whole thing. You know, where do you go with this, right? But this petition is serious. They say, according to an article published by the New York Post, the petition, they say, which was created February the 15th on a website, I guess, called Citizen Go, had over 27,000 signatures at the time that this article was published. That's the article that I have on this, okay? The whole advertisement features different ways that you can eat a Cadbury egg. The part of the commercial that inspired the petition comes, of course, at the very end, right? When two men pass a Cadbury egg between their mouths before bursting the egg open. Okay, the thing's sick, if you ask me, folks. Okay? They say by choosing to feature a same-sex couple, Cadbury's are clearly hoping to create controversy and escape criticism by claiming that anybody who objects must be rooted in homophobia. Okay, that's how they roll now, right? But believe it or not, members of the LGBT community have also expressed their dislike of the campaign. The petition stated, Cadbury's is well aware of the religious significance of Easter, the petition continues. Therefore, they're trying to cause gratuitous offense to members of the Christian community during the most important feast in their calendar. Yeah, I think that's right. It's offensive as all get out, folks. Exposing children to sexualized content constitutes a moral hazard. It constitutes a form of sexual grooming, the petition stated. It is well known that children will often copy what they see on the screen. Now, the company, that's Cadbury, previously defended the commercial in a statement to Ad Age. I don't know who that is. I guess it's some ad agency or whatever. Cadbury has always been a progressive brand that spreads a message of inclusion, whether it's through its products or brand campaigns, the company said in the statement. Now, I just find this abhorrent. On Easter with candy, are you kidding me? To kids? We are proud of our, what do they call it, golden googly? Oh, golden jubilee advertisement, which celebrates the many ways that everyone can enjoy a Cadbury cream egg. To illustrate this and to showcase the joy that our products bring, a clip of a real life couple sharing a kiss is the way we're going about it. Well, actually, sharing a Cadbury cream egg was included in the advert, right? Well, I got a problem with this whole thing. And this is why I say I don't think we'll ever be united in America. Okay, these people there believe, I believe falsely, but these people believe they're doing a great service to America by being inclusive and stuff like that. But what they're really doing, in my opinion, is mocking Christianity at the expense of all Christians. And there's still a lot of Christians in the Republic, baby. And you know what? They're waking up a sleeping giant, in my opinion. Okay, I support the petition. This is shameful and disgraceful and out of stop. Now, I'm not going to attack the individuals involved there. I'm not going to go off on a rant against, you know, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgenders. I completely disagree with their lifestyle. It is abhorrent. It is a sin. And I'm entitled to my beliefs. And I will not back away or apologize for those beliefs. God determines this, not me. I just happen to endorse God's statements on the matter. Now, that doesn't mean that I am going to be mean to people who love this. Doesn't mean that I'm going to try to get violent to anybody or that I'm going to, you know, go postal or anything like that. All right. Doesn't mean I'm going to be hostile and abusive towards anybody, but I completely disagree with the ad. I believe it's destructive to America in general. I believe it pollutes the airways, right? I believe it's just a sad tale to tell, to say the least. It's a shame. And so I'm going to stand against it, but I'm not going to attack individuals. I'm not here to hate on anybody. I am here to tell you that I reject the commercial. I think it's abhorrent. I want to do all that I can to see it go away. All right. For Kim and Kanye, it's divorce. Sad tale after 6 years of marriage. I guess they're working for, what do they call it, joint custody? Is that how it is? Of the children. And so Kim, I guess, and Kanye, it's divorce time. I guess Kardashian files papers after 6 years of marriage. I think it's sad. I thought that Kanye and Kim were kind of embracing the Christian view. And I had a lot of hope for them. Anyway, I don't know how to respond to this. Except for me to say that our prayers are with their family. Our prayers are with their children. The children are the ones that are going to suffer the most in this, I fear. All right. Jimmy Kimmel goes to town on Ted Cruz. There he is, snake on a plane right there, Jimmy says. And the big story is about, I guess, Ted Cruz. And I guess Ted Cruz, what he did is, while everybody was suffering in Texas from the freezing cold, I guess Ted Cruz rolled to Mexico. Went on a plane to Cancun or whatever and said, I was just trying to be a good dad. There was nothing that I can do, so I took my daughters down there. But it turns out he was planning to go on vacation. And some are very critical about Ted Cruz in this. I'm not as critical as others. In other words, I don't know why we want to look to government to solve all of our problems in the first place. Okay, you know what? I think Ted Cruz has every right, if he wants to go on vacation, to go. You say, in the middle of a crisis, Sam, when most people can't afford to even go and everybody else is suffering. And yeah, because what is a senator going to do about the power grid melting down? I mean, he can hold hearings, he can try to investigate, he can whatever, but there's nothing that he can do in the middle of the crisis. He's not a miracle worker. He doesn't have the skills to bring back the power grid or any of that kind of stuff. So you know what? This is all political attacks that I don't really see have a lot of advantage. All right? I don't know if you know this, but Texas is on its own power grid. The country is divided into the three general power grids in America. You got one covering the eastern part of the United States, another the western states, and another one is the Texas grid. The Texas grid basically covers the entire state of Texas, pretty much. And they say it's totally separate. So what do you say of all that? Right? Anyway, I bring that up because I just find that interesting that we want to go ahead and just act like Ted Cruz can do something about it. Now you say, well, Sam, you know, you got these bureaucrats and professional do-gooders, and, you know, they tell us not to leave our homes, and then they're out partying. They tell us not to go out to eat, and then we catch them doing it. This is similar. I agree. But ladies and gentlemen, if you pay a senator a couple hundred grand a year, and as you know, they get rich when they're in office, buddy. That's just the way politics works in modern times. You expect him not to take the opportunity to go to a warmer climate when he has the chance? You're expecting what never will be. Okay, we've made senators rich in America, and we've turned them into elites. And now when they behave like it, we have a problem with it. We got to look in the mirror. Yeah, you left, right, Democrats, Republicans, all of us. We got to look in the mirror a little bit and quit blaming everybody else. Don't blame Ted Cruz. Don't start attacking Jimmy Kimmel for getting mad about it. Take the civility way and say, Jimmy, I know you're on one side, and Ted, I know you're on the other side, but man, both of you ought to stop. Jimmy, quit attacking Ted. Ted, you know that was an elitist move. It wasn't good to do. And you know what? We hope you behave more like a servant of the people rather than an elitist. I think you could politely help people understand the mistake here. Now, is it a mistake by Ted Cruz? I think so. But you can't blame him. Who wouldn't have done it? Right? We've turned them into elitists with plenty of money. And now we're mad because they behave like it? Why don't we change the game and have senators serve in their states, not back in the Washington District of criminals? And why don't we go ahead and put them on part-time basis and reduce their salary down to maybe 40 grand, 30 grand? The average salary of an American might be a good starting point, huh? But see, when we create elites and rich men, and then we're mad when it goes that way, I think we need to look in the mirror a little bit, folks. All right, two Florida women dress up as grandmas. They dress up as grannies to get the vaccine. Turns out they were 30, 35 and 44 years old, and they got caught. Yeah, they got caught. I guess you're not allowed to have a vaccine because you're too young, is the idea. I don't know if that's age discrimination or what, but there you have it. Anyway, these women got caught. And, you know, you can't act like grannies to get the vaccines. I don't understand why they're so fired up to get the vaccines in the first place. I don't understand what the draw is, personally. But there you have it. Now, an Alaska woman went to the outhouse in the wilderness when a bear hiding in the toilet attacked her from behind. Yeah, the Associated Press reporting this one. And I guess it wasn't fun. She screamed. She jumped up. Turned out we think the bear used his paw and attacked her on the derriere. And I guess she thought something bit her butt, but it turns out we think it was a paw. She said, as soon as I sat down, Shannon jumped up and screamed. Her name is Shannon Stevens. So beware of them bears, ladies and gentlemen. They can be worse than politics. You follow me? Our prayers are with Shannon, and that she gets the derriere healed. God save the Republic.